Would you please join me as we welcome Wendy Francis?
Thank you, Graham, and thank you for joining me this afternoon. It has been decades. My dad actually helped build one of the house parties here, so I used to come up with it on the weekend, so it's been a long time. There is a Chinese proverb that says this. It says, there are three truths. There's my truth, your truth, and then the truth. So this weekend we've been looking at the life of Jesus, particularly as he went to the cross for us. Shortly before Jesus was taken and crucified, we know that the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And after that he went outside and told the Jews, I find no guilt in him. Now, in direct contrast to these words of Jesus, the popular philosophy of today is that there is no absolute truth. Rather, we must find our own truth from within ourselves. And that what this has led to is a generation that is disillusioned with life, that have nothing solid or trustworthy to base their lives on. There's nothing really solid that they can trust. No anchor, no right or wrong, no shared understanding of correct behaviour, no common sense. Some common sense because there's no commonality in what we actually all agree on. But we know that there is objective truth. The human spirit knows it intuitively, a truth that never changes. And to find that truth, we must turn to God's word. So Paul starts his letter to Titus saying, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. The Bible, of course, goes on to tell us that Jesus is the truth. And so it's important to note that his truth is always coupled with grace. John 1:17 tells us that the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So, before we start today talking about some of the really concerning political agendas that I would say to you contradict truth, it's essential that we do so graciously and with humble hearts. My husband Peter often says that we who are the recipients of God's grace should be the most gracious people on earth. But being gracious is not an excuse to overlook or turn a blind eye to error. We read in Ephesians 4:15, to speak the truth in love, to speak it. We are not to overlook the truth. And then verse 17 goes on to say, we are to put away falsehood. Let every one of you speak the truth with his neighbour. Zechariah 8:16 says, to speak the truth to one another. And in Romans 1:18, we're actually very strongly warned against suppressing the truth, which is exactly what has happened in the first sitting of the Queensland Parliament this year, when our Premier banned debate or even expressing a view on abortion in Parliament for the entire 4 years of this term of government. Now, there are a number of serious problems here. I'm just going to point out three. Firstly, it's a serious blow to pro-life MPs who had intended introducing a babies born alive bill in response to the growing number of Queensland babies that are surviving late-term abortions, but those babies are denied the same care that a wanted baby would be given at the same gestation. And this is a really shocking truth, and it's the result of the fact that it is now legal to abort a baby until birth in every state and territory in our nation. It is legal to end the life of healthy babies up until the moment of birth for psychosocial reasons or for sex selection. In most states, what happens then is that babies that are born alive after late-term abortions are denied medical or palliative care. And so whilst we have the lives of around 80,000 Australian babies taken every year through abortion, more than two babies every week survive abortion but are left to die without medical assistance. And what the Queensland Government has done has gagged from even discussing this travesty for 4 years. But secondly, the gag order serves to perpetuate the lie that abortion is the only answer to unexpected or unwanted pregnancies, and this is a travesty against women. Currently in Queensland, our legislation does nothing to help women who find themselves with an unwanted or an unexpected pregnancy. There are no safeguards provided for them, including counselling. In Psalm 106, we read that the pollution of the land, and that it reads that it was the pollution of the land was stripped of its goodness when sons and daughters are sacrificed and innocent blood is poured out. To sacrifice, then, something is to give up something that is ordinarily considered valuable or desirable. And in abortion, the life of a little girl or a boy is sacrificed. Innocent blood is shed. And our nation's callous disregard of this moral atrocity that I've just spoken about is actually normalising a barbarity within our country. But thirdly, on this point, and very importantly, this government gag is an affront to free speech, to freedom of belief, even to democracy. Because in this act of, government overreach, the Queensland Premier has forbidden debate in Parliament on an issue that he personally does not want raised. And it's a dangerous precedent. The Bible tells us that truth that sets people free. And God is saying to you that as disciples of Jesus, we must choose life, and we must speak truth. But of course, Queensland State Parliament is not alone in this attack on free speech. Earlier this year, our federal parliament introduced hate speech laws that have the potential to seriously curtail the freedom of everyday Australians. They only allowed an hour for debate on this bill, and then the government rammed it through. The new laws are so broad and so vague that many commentators believe that it will create far more problems than it would solve. The risk now of being criminalised for no more than expressing an unpopular political or religious view is very real. So what the laws have done very briefly is that they've lowered the threshold of prosecution for hate speech from intent to cause harm to now it reads, instead of that, intent to cause harm, it now reads recklessness. So this means you simply have to be reckless with your words to have committed an offence. But I'll ask you, who decides what's reckless? Is it reckless to say that there are only two genders? Some would say so. Or is it reckless to say that abortion is not health care? People could be arrested for saying or posting on social media words like this that could offend. The means by which someone incites violence has also been watered down. Now, we were assured by our federal government that these laws were necessary to address anti-Semitism, and so that's why they were pushed through so quickly. But I want you to take note of this, because the bill expands the list of protected attributes. And so there was a list of protected attributes in the previous hate speech laws. And that list was race, religion, nationality, and political opinion. That list has now been expanded to include sex, sexual orientation, and gender, none of which have anything to do with the very real and frightening rise of anti-Semitism, which I am going to address shortly. The Australian government's focus on this sex and sexual orientation agenda has other serious implications regarding the increasing restrictions on freedom of religion. And New South Wales is the latest state to introduce legislation which bans so-called conversion therapy, following Queensland, Victoria and the ACT. What the New South Wales government have done have made it very clear what these laws actually mean. They have confirmed that it could be a criminal offence to advise a same-sex attracted Christian to remain celibate or to pray for them at their request. And the penalty is 5 years prison. There's a video that the Anti-Discrimination New South Wales actually put out to explain the law, because it's a new law in that state. And in that video, if you watch the video, it says this is a direct quote, it says that conversion practices could resemble prayer or pastoral conversation that is intended to change or suppress someone's gender or sexuality. So I think when you hear that, as bold as that, we need in our own hearts to decide whether we will obey God or man. Over the past decade, Australia has experienced record high demand for the treatment of gender-confused children. And the only approved treatment has been affirmation therapy, which includes puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and even radical surgery. Young children are being encouraged by medical practitioners and school teachers in their desire to identify as a sex which actually denies truth, to change their name and identity, to demand access to the opposite sex bathrooms and change rooms, to take dangerous drugs to block puberty, and despite the fact that they could well be sterilised for life and suffer all means of damage to their health. The start of that is 2007. You can find global studies on the effects of puberty blockers on otherwise healthy adolescents, and they found that there was interference in memory and executive function, and abnormal cerebral function, as well as long-term fertility problems, sexual dysfunction, early onset of white menopause in females, decreased bone density, and a myriad of other distressing side effects. But despite all of that, in 2010, Australia's coalition government approved the Safe Schools program for state schools. Now, for the next 7 years, until the program was finally dissolved in 2017, following an outcry from parents, children were taught this, and it's on the screen. Can I say too, though, that the program actually just morphed into respectful relationships, so it's still around, it just keeps on getting called something different. And in Victoria, they still run the Safe Schools program as it is. It says this, gender isn't quite as simple, and we're talking even to primary school children. Gender isn't quite as simple as whether you're male or female. Everyone has their own gender identity in relation to masculinity and femininity. Some identify with both, and some don't identify with either. It's up to the individual to describe what gender identity fits them best. As the children were told this at school, they were told that it was possible for them to have been born in the wrong body, and they were encouraged to identify as whatever gender they wished at school. Is it any wonder that we have a tsunami of confused children? Parents were also locked out of the decision process. All of this I can back up with research, and this is all not just fringe research, this is straight from the Education Queensland website. Taking the menstrual suppression hormones that are part of this whole process has actually put young girls into early menopause, as well as suppressing their brain function during development, which is stalling their physical and mental maturing. And this makes it almost impossible, surely, for them to make life-altering decisions. But despite that, 15-year-old Australian girls have been allowed and even encouraged to cut off healthy breasts because they want to be a boy, which is impossible. They never will be a boy. They are being sold a cruel lie. And a decade on, for an increasing number, regret is hitting very hard. Now, all of the confusion is real. I won't say it any harder. In particular, who are currently dealing with children who are questioning their identities. There's a lot in the room this time. We have some knowledge of somebody. John White, many of which you are not able to fully understand right now. But I am here to help you stop making choices you can't undo. You deserve the chance to be who God created you to be without regret. Last month, the Federal Coalition passed its motion calling for an immediate end of experimental protection for children. To return to an inquiry into the use of puberty blockers on the is support. However, the clinic is finding ways to work around and a special underway. 100 prominent Australians. One of them. The Prime Minister launched a national inquiry into the treatment given to young people experiencing disability. involved in the blue quality, confidence will be a constructive outcome. Confident of the confidence that the area of health and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians. To contribute to the health and well-being for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. But it was not doubt that the gaps that exist can be hard to do by limitations in access to health services based on remote demands. Who live now on the in Australian demands with a population between 1 and 5,000. What gap is there, what we can do about it? It's likely to have a whole list of between 1 and 5,000, but predominantly have possible with inpatient beds. 21 predominantly hospital with inpatient beds. So the bedrooms population around 2,700. All the population are not in patients. Community with a population of around 2,600. Health clinic, which is serviced by business institutions. The students have two consult beds and one business station bed to manage critical care for patients. But it's not possible for anybody to stay overnight. So, the community is at a grip and armed because of the sexual infection that has come with them overnight and have to come back. One of the causes of the gap. That's one of the rates of heart disease in the Northern Territory. And this is a very often faced disease of language. Has led to rheumatic heart disease, including people not realizing that it's actually preventable. And it's contributed to the high burden of it in the community. It is changing, and the community members are much of the causes and treatment for the disease. I think that is a difference between non-Indigenous and Indigenous is that our country is too well received by Aboriginal offenders. Programs that are provided are appropriate. And communication barriers. And particularly the case of prisoners who aren't able to get insurance. Really need to look at throughout our government for cost of this case. It's a very specific. It's not a provision to say, so
day of people groups, and that is the Jewish community that is currently under siege. Who need medical care and to make happy where they work. This murderous Hamas raid in Israel on October 7 last year. Another thing that really should be known about what happened after the government warned us that depending on the morning news. I'm going to be doing something about this. Called Internet Escapism on Australian University campuses. For our people. God is shown by helping our neighbours or biblical truth. We have to see how we help the example that we should be able to help other people and just from different backgrounds. So I'm just talking about people who are Jews, we're talking about every person that God brings into the group. The created in the image of God and have entered to that. Now to my next topic. Relevant in regard to the increasing that is being put on doctors, families, patients, and health in our nation. Processing and being to abuse. Using his wife's euthanasia drugs in the country of natural causes. Non-life-threatening diseases. So combine that with children, non-threatening diseases, happening for many of them, and the people who have no hope. The palliative care funding by $150 million, just in the news. It's not hard to imagine frail people of age and their lives rather than feel like they are a burden. God told the family both of them, what to the boy and the boy. Many believers have seen many boys. And in particular, an increasing number of boys are growing up without a father figure. The last 100 years have been marked by some great leaps forward in outcomes and rights for women, which is fought, which is a great. It was Christian women who fought that they should have in a great. Is that it is boys that are being left behind and by some margin. Work and are far more likely to be caught up to this time. The truth is that boys are picking up with purpose and purpose to die. To the earlier, Britain and England and the Western world, where they feel about divorce, families, or single parents happening more and more children are growing up without fathers. Our father family. Again, I'm going to be really clear here. My single parents are blessed and they are good children. This is even more bothering than they actually have the opportunity to perform. But the number of children is terrible. Children have little to no to face contact with their fathers. And the lack of in their life. What we're finding in particular, which is a really interesting thing, is that many in countries in the world are increasingly being drawn to conservative or left-wing political movements. We have grandsons. They always have had enormous potential and they always will. Can I say the responsibility and the opportunity to nurture them as for good. And the process for a very challenging community will need to be not only parents, not only mentors, not only models, but also the contributions of men and grow into good, responsible adults. And because when our boys thrive, our whole society benefits and our society flourishes. Boys need to be quick on the front or otherwise of our society. This is a little bit of my topics so far, but affordable housing. Something that is and so it's involved a little bit in this, and the nation, it's in the capital, and in a right across the nation as well. And find the best properties, longer is a good way to finish what I'm going to because from God that God to Jeremiah 29 verse 11 when he and where he of our nation in every way. And about a whole bunch of things ultimately, it's found in Jesus.
People, plus activity, blind, and to avoid how we probably put in some way. You're born with your grace, your rest, which is much of this. We look and fix our eyes on Jesus, and we thank you in Christ.